The story of Zacchaeus is one of those endearing biblical passages. We have the little underdog guy who's short, pun intended, who is trying so hard to see Jesus, and he gets to see him, and it all ends in a happy ending. But in the midst of what we can see as just simply an endearing story is a greater truth, the truth of how we engage with it. Zacchaeus teaches us how to receive God with joy. And that's really where I want to focus today, by walking slowly through the stages of today's gospel. So let's hit in. The first stage is Zacchaeus himself, who has a lot of problems. First of all, he's short. Kind of a fun detail they threw in there, but short enough where he couldn't see past the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus, he had to do something beyond. In the same way, he's also hated by everyone. As not just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector, he is known for taking taxes from the people. We tend not to like tax collectors for that reason. In the same way, however, they make the point that he's wealthy. How did he get wealthy? By taking more than the taxes are due. So he's been reaping off the benefits of the people by taking more than his share of the taxes and becoming very wealthy because of it. So therefore, he's even more disliked. In the midst of this challenge, though, both short and hated, we see a lot of the challenges we face as well. Namely, what kinds of things keep us from seeing Jesus? What kinds of things keep us from going further in our faith? Maybe it's the belief that God doesn't love me, or the belief that I can't be forgiven, or God's just so far away it's not worth my time. Or maybe there's just too many things in life that keep us away from him. But we live in this idea of Zacchaeus, where the crowd has stopped me. I can't encounter Jesus. There's just things in my life that are too bad, it's just not going to happen. In the midst of that, however, let's look at how Zacchaeus responded. So realizing that the crowd was in his way, he went and climbed a tree. Now you need to take a moment and realize what just happened when he climbed a tree. In that society, and largely in ours too, it is weird for a grown man to climb a tree. Kids, it's fine. Little boys can climb trees all they want, it's kind of funny. But a grown man, it'd be weird for him to be like hanging on to a tree unless he's cutting branches or doing something industrious with the tree. Same for that era. It would have been so odd for a man to climb a tree. You just don't do that. But the oddest part of it is not him climbing the tree, but the fact of what happens after he climbed the tree. Keep in mind, we wear pants, they wear tunics. So as he's climbing this tree, he's exposing more of himself than what people want to see, because if they look up to watch him, they're being able to find out very quickly whether he's Jew or not, if you get my drift. It gets more awkward the more you think about it. Regardless, that would be very scandalous to all of them. So not only is it weird for him to climb a tree, but now everyone's scandalized by watching him, because it's just something to see, and more scandalized by the fact of what he has done. Which reminds us also of the value of what Zacchaeus is teaching us. Are we willing to humiliate ourselves or degrade ourselves for the sake of seeing Jesus? What kinds of things are we willing to do to really find him and to encounter him and to see him for ourselves? That's a big challenge. Are we willing to say to people, yes, I believe in him, or yes, I'm going to Mass? Are we willing to say to people, no, I won't do that because it's wrong and God has told me so? These are some of the ways we degrade and humiliate ourselves because God is more important, as Zacchaeus has shown us. In a more positive way, however, Zacchaeus always also shows us the value of seeing Jesus for himself. He doesn't want to take the word of the crowd. He doesn't want to just hear the stories of Jesus. He wants to see him. And that's a challenge we have too. Often we take the stories of what people have told us, or we take what we assume would be right and assume that's Jesus. When ultimately what we end up doing is degrading him to just being human and making it natural, like he's a teacher or a philosopher. And therefore, we don't actually encounter him, but we leave him where we want him to be, which makes it easier for us. Here's a few examples of what I mean. The story of Jesus walking on the water has been interpreted by modern scholars as the sea froze over and he's walking across the frozen water. I'm pretty sure the disciples would have noticed that the water was frozen and made that point. Similarly, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's not the Arctic. It tends to not freeze. So we get two problems there. But it makes it more understandable. Like, he can't walk on water. Oh, he walks on ice. That's how we solve it. Dumb. Or the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't a miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Everyone opened their lunch boxes, and because everyone was so generous because of Jesus, they had enough food for all. If you ever ask a Palestinian to explain that parable, they'll laugh at that. In Middle Eastern culture, if you have food, you share it. That's the written law of the land. So for this to be a miracle that Jesus is so great that everyone shared their food is laughable to that time period. No one would have written that down. It's like if you took some friends out to dinner and each person paid for their meal and you wrote home saying, "Guess what, Mom and Dad? We each paid for our meal." They'd laugh at you. That's not how it works. So Zacchaeus teaches us the value of seeing Jesus as himself, not what we want him to be, not what people have told us, but encountering Jesus on his own. So after he encounters Jesus and he sees him, Jesus looks up, which who wouldn't if there's a guy hanging in a tree, and calls him down. He summons him. He calls him to himself. And as soon as Zacchaeus comes to Jesus, disregarding all the things of the crowd and the harassment of the people, he responds. Zacchaeus' response is something we should pause on. After encountering the living Lord, after feeling the forgiveness and mercy, the inclusion that Jesus gave him, he responds by saying, "I will give half of what I own to the poor." That's an exceptional amount of money. Could you imagine if you said, "I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor"? Ooh. Or, on top of that, he said, "If I extorted anyone anything, I will pay it four times over." To give you some numbers, if that's $100, that'd be $400. If that's $500, that's $2,000. It adds up really fast, especially for a guy who became wealthy by extorting people. He's going to be very poor by the end of this. But it reminds us of the value of responding to Jesus. So often we may feel his call or feel his presence, but it should impact us enough that we want to do something with it. Jesus's value in our lives should lead to things like kindness, charity, self-control, generosity. All these things are gifts that come through the Spirit, that once we encounter him, that's our response. Our response is these kinds of actions. So to summarize and to bring it back, we start out with Zacchaeus, who recognizes in us all of our own challenges. What things keep us from encountering Jesus? Is it our unworthiness? Is it the fact we don't want to? Is it the fact that we haven't figured out how to? What blocks do we keep in our lives that keep us from encountering him? Because we have to remember, he calls to us. He challenges us. So what extremes do I have to go to overcome those challenges? What trees do I need to climb? What level do I need to humiliate or degrade myself so that I can see Jesus myself, see him for myself, recognize him who he is on my terms and on his terms? By doing so, then he summons us. He calls us. He beckons us and says, "Come to me. I want to stay at your house," which encourages our response. How do you respond to Jesus? What will you give? What will you do? What will be different about your life? You've encountered the living Lord. How will your life change? For Zacchaeus, it changed radically. This is a part of the gospel that I ponder about. Jesus said, "I must stay at your house." But they never go to his house. The gospel ends before they get there, which then leads us to another question. Which is Zacchaeus' house? Is it a physical place or is it himself? Because he did invite Jesus into his house, his very being, his self. And that's what made such a radical change. Salvation came to him because he invited Jesus in. And Jesus changed his life, led him to new and better things, and gave him the grace and mercy he's been desiring. That is our challenge, to let Jesus into our lives, to let that radical change unfold, that we can feel that salvation and know salvation has come to our house.